You're listening to the Mission Church Podcast. Each message comes from our Sunday morning gatherings where we worship in community, study God's Word, and grow in our faith together to the glory of Jesus Christ. The Mission Church is committed to helping each person belong and believe and to equip them to embrace the call of God upon their life. We pray these messages will build your faith and encourage you today.
The title of the message, Experiencing the Spirit-Led Life. And again, this is part two of that. And so today, we're going to continue on part two of this. And I want you to know the Spirit wants to do a powerful work in your life. He wants to lead and guide your every step. The Spirit wants to bring wisdom into your life when you are considering things that are unwise. He wants to guide you and direct you into wisdom. The Holy Spirit wants to bring conviction into your life when you begin to drift from your convictions. The Spirit wants to bring comfort into your life when you are hurting or going through difficulties or in some kind of struggling with discomfort. And the Spirit wants to lead us to God when we are tempted to follow our own will, and to go our own way. You see, the Spirit is God's presence leading us into an ever-deepening relationship with God himself, with Jesus himself. The Spirit is God himself leading us into an ever-deepening relationship with himself, with Jesus. Jesus said, the Spirit will not speak on his own. He will speak of me. He will reveal me to you. And so he will lead us into a deeper relationship with Jesus as the Lord of our life. And that is the place where freedom reigns and where our lives are abundant and fruitful because he is leading us in right paths. If we do not allow him to lead us in right paths, our lives will not be abundant and fruitful. They will be broken and barren. But if we allow him to lead us in right paths, our lives will be fruitful and abundant. And so today, we're going to be on this second part, experiencing the Spirit-led life, and we're going to be looking at what it means to walk in the Spirit. I want to start with a verse for you. This verse is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me hear you read this in a loud, unified voice. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. I've started with this verse because I want you to know if you are not a Christian, if you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, if Jesus is not the Savior of your soul, if you do not know him, it is foolish for us to talk about a Spirit-led life. It's not possible for you to have a Spirit-led life. The first start of a Spirit-led life is submitting your life to the Lordship of Jesus. And that is where the Spirit-led life begins. Until that time, all these things will sound foolish to you. They will make no sense whatsoever. The natural man can't receive the things of God's Spirit. He can't understand what the Spirit is trying to lead him in. Now, as we jump into our study today, for those of you who weren't with us last week, we need to understand some terms that we're going to be discussing and reading today. We're going to be using this term, the flesh. The flesh. And what does the flesh mean? When we say the flesh, I want to make sure we have the right understanding of this word. What does the flesh mean? Let me hear from you. It means our carnal desire, really good, our sinful, carnal, natural desires. It means what our mind thinks and what our human will is. It's our sinful ways, if you will. That is called our flesh. And so when we hear this, don't walk in the flesh. Well, That's what it's saying. Don't be led by your carnal desires. We talked last week. We spent a lot of time on this. We have these natural appetites. They're important to our survival. We need air. So we have this appetite for air. We have to breathe. And if somebody strangles you, man, you will fight like a gorilla, man. It's just incredible strength because you got to breathe. We need water so we get this thirst appetite. We need food. We need nourishment so we get this hunger drive. We need to reproduce so we get this sexual drive. We need incredible intimacy in our marriage. And so we have this sex drive as its place and its purpose. We need shelter. So we have this hunger for safety and possessions and those kind of things. And those are our natural appetites. And the flesh is controlled by those natural appetites. We're going to use another word today. That's the flesh. It means our carnal, sinful, natural ways, the way we think, our mind, those kind of things. Another word we're going to use is the spirit. And when we talk about the spirit today, we're referring to the person of God, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is given as a gift to us who lives in us and dwells in us the moment that we make Jesus our Lord and Savior. We are given the Spirit, and the Spirit, we become in fellowship with the Spirit. Before we make Jesus our Savior, we are what the Bible calls spiritually dead. Our spirit doesn't mean that you're not existing, but your spirit is separated from God. It is broken from what it was intended to be. And so God, the moment we make Jesus our Lord and Savior, that fellowship then is regained, and we are born again, and that is the Spirit. So when we talk about the Spirit, we're talking about God, His Spirit, who dwells with everyone who's been born again in Jesus Christ. And one more word that we need to get out, we're going to talk about walking today. Walking in the Spirit, walking in the flesh. When we talk about walking or walk, what are we talking about? Participating, really good. We're talking about participating. Walking here, as we use it today, is going to refer to our daily conduct, what we do daily. Thus, to walk in the Spirit means to live one's life being led by the Holy Spirit's guidance and by His empowerment. To walk in the flesh is to live a life controlled by our bodily appetites. And those bodily appetites are often selfish and are often sinful. And by the way, on this word walk, it's a continual action. What am I doing right now? Well, I'm walking. What am I doing now? I'm standing. This isn't a walk. And so walking is a continuous action. Secondly, walking is progressive. It's taking me somewhere. And a walk in the Spirit takes me into a ever-deepening relationship with God. It's taking me to a destination. So these are our terms. We're going to use them a lot. Let's make sure you have them. The flesh, the Spirit, and walk, right? We understand what these things are. We're going to need to understand these terms as we jump into our text. So with that rambling introduction, let's jump into Galatians 5. Galatians 5, and we're going to pick it up in verse 16. Let me pray as we open God's word. Jesus, as we open your word, we do so realizing that your word is spiritual. Yes, it is on paper, ink on a page, but Lord, your word is God-breathed. It is divinely inspired. And Lord, we know that unless you open our eyes, unless you give us understanding, we can't see these things. And so Lord, open our eyes and help us to see what it means to walk in your Spirit, to be led by your Spirit, that we might experience, Lord, the life that you have created us to have. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians 5:16, are you there? One more thing before we read. How much can I know about you? John, Monica, how much can I know about you? We meet in the hallway after church today. We shake hands. How much can I know about you? What's the answer? What you allow me to know. You might be on top of the world. You might be going through a really hard time. You might be so happy you just had this deal that was amazing. And you might be saying, my marriage is hanging by a thread. And all I can know about you is what you choose to reveal about yourself to me. And the Bible says, no one knows a man except the spirit of the man within him. And likewise, no one knows God except the spirit of God. In other words, we can only know about God what he chooses to reveal to us about himself. And he chooses to reveal himself to us through his spirit and through his word. Through creation, we can know he's powerful. Through creation, we can know he's an amazing artist, but we can't know him. We know him through his spirit and through his word. And so today as we read, we're asking the Lord, Lord, reveal to us by your spirit these incredible truths. Verse 16, I say then, Galatians 5:16, I say then, read these next four words with me. I say then, walk in the Spirit. What does that mean? Well, that's what we're learning all about last week and this week. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Notice it doesn't say walk in the Spirit, and you will not have the lust of the flesh. The flesh are carnal desires, often selfish, often sinful. Walk in the Spirit, you'll still have these desires, but you won't what? Fulfill them. Here we see what a spirit-led life is and what it isn't. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We looked last week and we saw there's only two ways to go through life. We either go through life controlled by our flesh, slaves to our flesh, controlled by our appetites. Well, I know I shouldn't have said that, but he made me mad. Oh, then you are a slave to your flesh. Well, I know I shouldn't have, but... And we just excuse everything as if we're controlled by our flesh. And we're under bondage. Only two ways to go through life. We're either controlled by our flesh or we are led by the Spirit. And led, Spirit-led, means not controlled, not an employee, not a slave, a participant, a relationship. Not forced, but chosen. Not forced, but participating in. Walk in the Spirit. Choose to walk in the Spirit. Have your mind set on walking in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of your flesh. And now we learn something interesting. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Oh, there's a battle going on. The Spirit wants to lead me in one way, and my flesh wants to lead me in another way. The Spirit has its desires for my life, and my flesh has its own opinion on this subject, right? But verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. If you are led by the Spirit, you don't need any laws to govern you because the Spirit will always do the right thing. Verse 19, now Paul is going to do something very wise. He's going to juxtapose these two different lifestyles. A lifestyle controlled by the flesh, and a lifestyle that is led by God's Spirit. And the juxtaposition is just glaring in contrast. Look at this. Now the works of the flesh, the employment of the flesh, the slavery to the flesh is evident. The first one, it's adultery. And we looked at that last week in depth. adultery, the first work of the flesh, cheating on the one that you love the most, being unfaithful to the one that you are one flesh with, being unfaithful, cheating on the most important relationship in your life. Just right out of the gate, we see how ugly the works of the flesh are just on the first description. The works of the flesh are evident. They're adultery. They're fornication, uncleanness, and lewdness. Can you find a better description of our society today? Fornicating, unclean, and very lewd. Verse 20, the works of the flesh are idolatry. What is idolatry? Putting things before God. Idolatry. Oh, the new couch in the living room and plenty of time on the golf course and the surfboard is waxed and polished, but the Bible is dusty. Idolatry. Idolatry, just the work of the flesh. God is always last to the flesh. The next one, sorcery. We talked about that last week, the Greek word pharmakia. All kinds of drug use, needing pills for everything, needing drugs for everything. Well, I'm having a hard time, I'll take a pill. Well, I'm anxious, I'm taking a pill. Well, I can't sleep, I'm taking a pill. Well, I'm sleeping too much, I'll take a pill. Well, I need more energy, I'll take a pill. Well, I'm suffering, I'll take a pill. Well, I'm depressed, I'll take a pill. Well, I'm drug use, the flesh, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions. Who's on my mind the most? Me, the me monster. Selfish ambitions. I want to be praised. I want to be rich. I want to be right. I want to be amazing. Selfish ambitions. Dissensions. Heresies. Interesting part of the flesh. Heresies. That's false beliefs about God. Wrong beliefs about God comes out of the flesh. Envy. Murders. Drunkenness. Revelries. And the like. In other words, Paul says, I could go on and on and on. How attractive are any of those qualities I just mentioned? Not at all. I don't mean to be, it's just funny. I'll just say it. It's just funny. I can't help it. It's just funny. God is showing us something about our flesh. Everything your flesh produces stinks. You deodorize it, you spray air freshener, you wash it, you get perfume bars. But everything your flesh produces stinks. And that is a picture of the spiritual. Take a look at this list we just read. All of it stinks. And that is the slavery to the flesh. Now, on the contrast, take a look at this. Oh, we didn't finish reading. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things, those whose life is marked by these things, will not inherit the kingdom of God. They'll be separated from God forever. They will go to hell, the lake of fire. They will be eternally separated from God. Shows us the importance of having a spirit-led life. Now, juxtapose that with the spirit-led life. Look at what he shows us here. The contrast could not be more glaring. But the fruit of the spirit. Notice that. The fruit versus the works. Led versus controlled. The fruit of the spirit is the first one? Love. And we looked at that last week. That is agape. That is a love that is uncaused by the recipient. There's many different kinds of love. In the Greek, there's phileo love, which means You like burritos? I like burritos. You like golf? I like golf. You like surfing? I like surfing. Hey, I got an idea. Let's go surfing and get burritos. That'll be so fun. Be fun for you, be fun for me. It's mutual. Nothing wrong with that kind of love, but that's not what this kind of love is talking about. The fruit of the Spirit is agape. It's a love of a mother that loves that child, not because that child has done anything to deserve it. As a matter of fact, they're keeping me up all night long. But it's a love uncaused by the recipient. And the fruit of the Spirit is agape. How amazing when we contrast that to adultery. An amazing contrast to the first of each one. Not only agape, but joy. A life full of joy and peace. And long-suffering, which means patience. What an amazing concept. And kindness. I always think of my wife when I read that word. That is just her. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. And self-control. And I could say, and the like. All these amazingly beautiful attributes. And against such things, there is no law. When you have the fruit of the Spirit, you don't need any laws governing you because you all these things are just wonderful in God's view. Like these are all, you don't need any laws governing you. The fruit of the Spirit just produces right behavior in our lives. Verse 24, and those who are Christ, they've crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Why would we do that? Crucifying our flesh with its passions and its desires. Why? So that we could live a Spirit-led life. Because remember, these two are contrary to each other. And so we have to crucify or deny our fleshly desires so that we might live a Spirit-led life. And look what he says in verse 25, if or since we live in the Spirit, and we do, let us also walk in the Spirit. And again, walking is a continuous action. And here's what he's saying. How did you get salvation? Well, by the Spirit. How did you get born again? By the Spirit. It was a gift. Well, then let us also walk in the Spirit. If salvation is a gift by the Spirit, if eternal life is in the Holy Spirit, and a gift, then walking in the Spirit, abundant, rewarding life is also in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited and provoking one another and envying one another and all the controlled by the flesh. No, no, no. Let's be led by the Spirit. So as we pick up again on this part two of a Spirit-led life, we see some things from our text. We see some things from our meditations on this that God is showing us. And we learn here something about us. We learn that we are not merely biological creatures. We are also spiritual beings. And that is not readily apparent to us in everyday life. I want you to know that we possess a body, but what we are is a spirit. We possess a body, but what we are is a spirit. And our spirit is who we really are. We think our body is our primary being, but that is not so. Our spirit is the primary being. And I can prove that to you. Let's say, for example, you're in the garage, you're building some things, you're on the table saw. And there you are cutting the boards on the table saw. And as you're cutting, whoop, there goes the thumb. Are you still the same person? You just lost part of your body. Are you still the same person? Yes, you're still the same person. You still want to be loved the same way. You still have the same value. You still, because you're not a body. God forbid, let's say it wasn't just a thumb, but you lost your whole hand. Are you still the same person? God forbid, it wasn't a table saw, it was a car accident, and you lost your arm. You're still the same person. Because you're not a body. You are primarily a spirit. There's a young man named Jeremy Robin, 28 years old, who in a motocross race, in a supercross race 2 weeks ago, was a young guy, just up and coming, hadn't made it into, you know, made money yet or anything, just up and coming. And he was doing a jump, and he came, you know, in a race, and he landed incorrectly and got paralyzed. And here, one moment, you're this professional motocross racer, and now you're in a wheelchair. You're still the same person. You still want to be loved. You still love your family. You still care about, yet your life is radically different. And if you were a quadriplegic, you'd still be, and here's why, because we are not merely biological creatures. We are also spiritual beings. And it's important that we understand this. And since we are spiritual beings, we have some interesting things that happen to us. We can have all of our physical needs met and met in abundance. We can have plenty of air. We can have plenty of water for our thirst. We can have plenty of food for our hunger, for our nourishment. We can have plenty of shelter and still be unsatisfied, still be unfulfilled, still be depressed, still be empty inside. That is not so in the animal kingdom. The animal kingdom has all their needs met in the right environment. They're happy. Humans, not so. Why? Because you're not primarily a biological creature. You're a spiritual being. And so we can have all of our physical needs met and still be unfulfilled and empty inside. And when this happens, we get perplexed. Because biologically, we have all of our needs being met, and yet somehow we're still not satisfied. So you know what we do? We go looking for, how did you know? We go looking for more. Well, I just want more food. And instead of a peanut butter jelly sandwich, well, I'm going to have filet mignon and lobster. Maybe then I'll be happy. And we go looking for more. We want more food. We want more drink. We want more sex. We want more possessions. We want not just a shelter. We want a mansion. More, more, more. And then even when we get it, we find something happened. Like a good meal, it might satisfy for a moment, but it's only a moment. And all the more that I got still left me empty, still left me miserable. And now we can't figure out why. And when this happens, we get really worried. We go, man, I think something's really wrong with me. And we go see shrinks and we go do all kinds of things. We think, and here's what the Bible says. Romans 8:20. For the creation, that's who? For the creation, you and me, was subjected to futility, this emptiness. Not willingly. I didn't choose to be subjected to it. You didn't choose to. The creation was subjected to futility. Not willingly, but by reason of him, God, who subjected us to it in hope. In hope? In hope that the creation might be delivered from this bondage into the glorious liberty of the children of God. In other words, that we might realize that all these physical things can never give us life. We were created for something more. We were created to be in fellowship with God, and we might find life there. But the problem is, we are prone to live as mere biological beings when in fact we are spiritual beings. And as spiritual beings, we were created to be in a meaningful relationship with God, who is also a spirit. We are primarily a spirit, and God is a spirit, and we were meant to be in relationship with him and with others. Interesting. Interesting. This is why the Spirit-led life is the most joy-filled, most fruitful, most rewarding life. And this is why a life controlled by the flesh is a life of futility. A life longing for substance, longing for meaning, longing for purpose, a life materialistic, selfish, arrogant, boastful, lustful, and bound in vice and addictions because you are a slave to your flesh. And so here we see this giant contrast. Biological life alone will leave us empty and wanting, even if we are wealthy. And spiritual life in Jesus makes us satisfied, abundant, and full, even if we aren't so wealthy, which is really interesting. And this is what Jesus tried to teach us over and over and over. A few verses for you where Jesus teaches this. They're easy to remember because they're both 6:25. This is Matthew 6:25. Take a look at this. Let me hear you read it. Jesus' words. Therefore, I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on, or about your couch and your living room and your jacuzzi and your car and your... Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothing? And the answer? Yes. Yes. You are not merely a biological being. You're primarily a spiritual being, Jesus is saying. So that's Matthew 6:25. Look at Matthew 16:25. Look what Jesus said. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. If you just go after stuff, if you just live for your biological life, you'll actually lose your life. You'll be miserable. But whoever loses his life for my sake, and that's the sake of knowing Jesus, will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for a soul? What would you give in exchange for your soul? Interesting. Our spirit life is far superior to our body. I want you to really hold on to that. So will you read what's on the screen for me? Our spirit. One more time in unison. And I want you to know it's been that way from the beginning. Let me take you back to the Garden of Eden. You will remember God formed man, formed from the dust of the earth, from the ground. God fashioned from the dirt a human body. It is interesting, by the way, we've learned from science that the same 17 trace elements that are in the soil are the same 17 trace elements that are in us. That's why we need magnesium and phosphorus and all that. I don't know what all 17 are, but interesting. God formed man from the ground, but man was not alive. God formed man from the ground, and then God breathed into him the spirit of life, and he became a living being. God formed his body from the ground, but he bara his spirit. Hebrew word for created out of nothing, his spirit. God created his spirit. Your body was formed, but your spirit was created. Because your spirit is far superior to your body. The Bible teaches this. Ecclesiastes 12:7 tells us, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. The body will return to the grave, to the ground where it came from, and the spirit will return to God where it came from. Your body is temporary. Your spirit is who you really are. And this is interesting. Our body is merely a vessel for our spirit's agency. I want you to think about that for a moment. Don't just let that go in one ear and out the other. Our body is merely a vessel for our spirit's agency. Many of us like watching baseball. Really fun to watch as the series goes on, and you come to the end of the World Series, and you see, and what are we trying to find? Which team is the best? Which team works the best together? And which team has the best shortstop and the best third baseman? And which outfielders are the fastest and have the best arm? And which pitcher can throw the most heat? And we look at all this, and these are all individuals, and the baseball field is the vessel for the team to display what they really are. The baseball field is not what's important, but it's where the team displays what they're made of. And the body is the vessel for our spirit's agency. Are you tracking with me? And again, our body is temporary, but our spirit will live forever. And yet most people indulge their flesh and neglect their spirit. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that backwards? What in the world? Which one should we be investing in? The spirit. Which one are we investing? What are we always caring about? The body. We've got it backwards. How many of you have ever heard the expression, he sold his what?
Soul
to the devil. How many of you have ever heard that? Yeah, you don't need to raise your hands. We've all heard it. How many of you have ever heard this expression? He sold his body to the devil. No, we never heard that. You know why? Because your body is temporary. It's of no value eternally. Your body is temporary. Satan is not after your body. He's after your soul. And God is interested in your soul. Our spirit is far superior to our body. Our body is merely merely a vessel for our spirit's agency. And yet most people indulge their flesh and neglect the spirit. Let's put that verse back up from Matthew 13. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Or let's not put it up. Let me ask you, would you sell your soul for $1 million? Anybody? How about 2 million? How about 5 million? But the reality is, we don't value the soul and we give it away for nothing. Crazy. Crazy. When we are born again, Jesus sends his Holy Spirit to us to lead, to guide, and direct us. Oh, now it's up. He sends his Spirit to us so that we can start investing in the things of the Spirit and not merely live like an animal for our bodily appetites. But when he sends his Spirit to us, we learned we have a problem. What's the problem? Well, here's the problem. Our flesh and the Holy Spirit are opposed to each other. They have different wills. They have different ideas. Our flesh and the Holy Spirit are opposed to each other. Look at verse 17 one more time. The flesh lust against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These two are contrary to one another. We have a problem. Our flesh is sinful, and it wants different things than the Holy Spirit. These two are contrary to each other. This means that every Christian is going through a battle between the flesh and the Holy Spirit. I want you to know a spirit-led life is not something that is like mystical, romantic, delusional. I'm just led by God's spirit. I'm floating. I'm easy. No. There's a battle going on. And the spirit says, Dave, why don't you do this? And my flesh says, because I want to tell him he's a jerk. Dave, why don't you do this? Because I'm hungry for being recognized. I want someone to think I'm amazing. And so there's this battle going on. And the Bible is very honest about this battle. Let's not pretend it's not there. Let's not pretend we're so spiritual that we don't deal with these things. Flip over to Romans 7. I asked you to bookmark it. Romans 7. Paul wrote about this battle between the flesh and the Holy Spirit. We're going to pick up Romans chapter 7. We're going to pick up in verse 14. Romans 7:14, or if you're there, give me a big amen. Amen. For we know that the law is what? Spiritual. God's word is spiritual. It's guiding our spirit. It's speaking to our spirit. It's talking to our spirit. It's a spiritual law. But I am carnal, sold under sin. Or in other words, a slave to sin. In other words, controlled by my flesh. Who sold me? Adam. We inherited this. We didn't choose it. Verse 15, for what I am doing, I don't understand. You ever said, what did I say that for? You ever do that? What I'm doing, I don't understand. For what I will to do, be nice, that I do not practice. But what I hate, being a jerk, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I want you to underline these words. I agree with the law that it is good. Very cool. I love this about God. If you think on that verse for a moment, you're going to be encouraged. If then I want to be nice, but I'm a jerk, then I'm agreeing with God that his ways are right. If I want to be selfless, but I was selfish, I'm agreeing with God's way that his way is right. If I want to forgive, but I'm having a hard time, I'm agreeing with God that he's right. And that means I'm his. That means I'm born again. That means his spirit has put this right understanding in me. If I do that what I don't want to do, I agree with God, his way is good. Verse 17. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. God understands that we have this sin nature that is in us. And Paul says, verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. My flesh is just inherently selfish. It wants its own way. Nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me. I want to do God's will, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, be selfless, I don't do. I'm selfish. And the evil that I will not to do, I don't want to be lustful. That I practice. Verse 20. Now if I do what I will not to do, then it's no longer really me doing it, but sin that dwells in me. Wow. It's not really my spirit doing this. It's my flesh, and my flesh is sinful. Verse 21, I find then a law that evil is present with me, the very one who wills to do good. Interesting. Verse 22, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. In my heart, I delight according to God's laws, to God's ways. I love God's ways. In my heart, in my mind, in my spirit. But verse 23, But I see another law in my members or in my flesh. And look at this word that he uses. What's the word? Warring against the law of my mind, against my spirit, and bringing me into captivity, bondage, slavery. This war making me a captive, a prisoner, a slave to the law of sin, which is in my flesh, in my members, in my flesh, my body. And look at his conclusion. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of sin, this body of death? Well, he answers, I thank God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, I'm going to be delivered from this. So then, with my mind, with my spirit, with my heart, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, my body, I serve the law of sin. I miss the mark. Interesting. This battle that is going on. Romans 7 describes this conflict that is in every Christian's life. This battle going on between their flesh and the Spirit of God. There are some commentators who are not worth their salt, by the way, who describe Romans 7 as life before Paul came to Jesus. Well, that was Paul before he met Jesus. That's not the Christian life. And to them I say, hogwash. Nothing could be further from the truth. The verbs Paul uses are not in past tense. They are in present tense. That what I want to do, I don't do. That what I don't want to do right now, presently, that I do. All the verbs are in present tense. This isn't talking about his life before he came to Christ. And the problem is, when we think that way, here's what we think. We think, well, I can't be a Christian and be like this. Then you're not being real. And this is what a walk in the Spirit looks like. There's a conflict. If you don't understand that, you will think you're broken. You will think you're not a Christian. You will be beat up. You will be discouraged, and you will not make it. This is the Christian life. There's a war going on. Your flesh wants to commit adultery. Your spirit wants you to be faithful. Your flesh wants to lie. Your spirit wants, the Holy Spirit wants to guide you into all truth. And there's this battle going on. And I can prove to you it's not before Paul's conversion. Look at verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, Paul says. So then, with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with my flesh, the law of sin. That's definitely after conversion. And this is the Apostle Paul, who's way better than I am. And he struggled. If a Christian says that Romans 7 does not describe his life, I say in all kindness, you are radically deceived and you are delusionally self-righteous. I pity your soul. Romans 7 describes the state of every Christian and the battle that goes on within them between the flesh and the Holy Spirit. Let me give it to you in a very succinct way. Here it is, James 3, on your screen. Big, huge, honking verse. Let me hear you read it. Go ahead. This is the Apostle James. We all stumble in many things. There's a battle going on between the flesh and the spirit. And if you're here this morning as a Christian struggling with sin, wondering if you're even saved because of your chronic struggle with sin, I have good news for you. Spiritually dead men do not wrestle with their sin. They don't wrestle with sin. You have to be born again to wrestle with your sin. You have to be born again to say, that what I want to do, that's not what I do. And that what I don't want to do, that's what I do. Lord, help me. Only the man born again will make such claims. Spiritually dead men do not hate their sin. Spiritually dead men do not cry out to Jesus and confess their sin. Lord, I'm sorry, I did it again. Spiritually dead men do not repent of their sin and say, Lord, today I'm walking a different path. I'm going to try to walk with you. Help me, Lord. Spiritually dead men don't do that. And I hope we have time to go into Romans 8. We may not have time to do it until next week. But here's what we're going to learn. The Holy Spirit empowers us to a new way of living. The Holy Spirit empowers us to a new way of living so that we're not slaves to our sin. So that we're not constantly in bondage to the flesh, but we're actually living a life in the Spirit, enjoying the fruits of the Spirit. Look at Galatians. We're going to go to chapter 3 right now. Galatians, back to Galatians chapter 3. Keep your bookmark in Romans just in case on the rare chance we have time to go back. Galatians 3. Are you there? Oh, foolish Galatians. Oh, foolish Christians in this church that has gone sideways. Who has bewitched you? Or in other words, who has misled you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. You knew Jesus died on the cross. Your eyes saw that. If not physically, you understood it spiritually. You saw, you knew that Jesus died on a cross for your sins. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by your good works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Let me ask you, how did you get saved? How did you get born again? Did you get born again because you were really a good person or because you believed that Jesus died on the cross for your sins? I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. He gave me salvation as a free gift. He cleansed me and washed me of all of my sins. I believe that God became a man and that he dwelt among us and he lived a perfect life on my behalf. And then he went to the cross on my behalf. And then he took the punishment and the wrath of God upon his own shoulders on my behalf. So that I could have his righteousness given to me as a free gift, and eternal life as a free gift. Did you receive the gift of salvation, the fruit of the Spirit, receive the Holy Spirit living as your performance or by faith? And the answer is by faith. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now going to be made perfect in the flesh? If you started in the Spirit, are you now going to be a good Christian by your own actions? No. It'd be crazy to think that way, right? Jump over to chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the what? In the freedom which Christ brought you. Stand fast, therefore, in the freedom by which Christ made you free. And don't be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. That yoke of bondage is righteousness by your own performance. Don't go there because you'll never make it. Stand fast in that freedom that you have in Christ. Verse 2, indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, if you become religious, if you become trying to earn your way by being a good person, Christ will profit you nothing. I testify again, every man who becomes circumcised to be righteous, who goes through whatever rituals of keeping laws to be righteous, that he's a debtor to keep the whole law. You like keeping laws? Well, then you got to keep the whole enchilada. And there's no way you can make it. There's no way. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. Salvation's a free gift. The Spirit is given to you freely. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith, not by performance. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. Your religious efforts, they don't avail anything. And your non-religious efforts, they don't avail anything. But faith working through love, it avails much. When you have faith working through love, the love that God has for you, when you understand the message of the cross and how for you God is, that he gave you his son, will he not give you all things? If God is for me, who can be against me? When you understand God's amazing love for you, faith working through that kind of love, oh, it avails much. It does amazing things. Jump over to verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of your flesh. You'll have them. You'll have this battle going on, but you'll say, Lord, your way is better, man. I want to do it your way. I want to walk with you. Lord, walk in the Spirit. Walk? What am I doing? What am I doing now? Well, I'm standing. That's not walking. Walking is a continual action, and here we see the Spirit-led life is a continual choice to say, God, your ways are so good. I want to be in your love. I can't believe how much you love me. I can't believe your grace towards me. I can't believe all you do for me. It's a continual action. It's something we keep doing. Verse 16, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'll jump down to verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is agape. Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such there is no law. You are free. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires so that we can live this Spirit-led life. If we live in the Spirit, and boy, we do, let us also walk in the Spirit. We were saved by the Spirit. Let us also walk. And what am I doing? Know this. Walking is a continual action. The moment that I stop walking, I'm no longer walking. I'm standing. Walking is a continuous action. And walking in the Spirit is a continuous action. We do it every moment. And walking also takes me somewhere. It's taking me from one place to another. It's taking me into a ever-deepening relationship with God where he reveals more of himself to me by his Spirit, and I learn more of who he is and learn more of his love for me and learn more of how good his ways are. So what a powerful thing to consider. Look at the beautiful fruit of the Holy Spirit, this agape, this love, joy, peace, pace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. These are beautiful qualities that we all want in our life. And these are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. The fruits of the Holy Spirit are character traits. And they're amazing. But do you know what happens to us? We are prone to think that the fruits of the Spirit are character traits that we can work hard to develop. And so we try really hard to be loving. And we try really hard to be kind. And that what I want to do? That's not what I do. And I try to be nice, but that what I want to do, that's not what I do. And so we try hard to be patient, and we try hard to be selfless, and maybe we do it for one day, and I come into the office, and I'm being selfless, and I'm being nice, and inside I'm going, ugh. And I make it through day one, and then day two, I'm being nice again, hi. And then day three, and then day four, snap. And I lose it, and I'm a jerk, and man, we feel horrible. And we tell God sorry, and we tell everybody in the office sorry, and we apologize, and we say, Lord, and we come back next day, and we try harder again. How many times can we do that before we get defeated and we give up? Here's what I want you to see. Here's what I want you to know. The fruit of the Spirit is not a to-do list. It's the fruit, it's the natural byproduct of living in a Spirit-led life. It's not saying love. it's saying, walk in the Spirit, and love will come out of you. Big difference. It's not a to-do list. As a matter of fact, this is mind-boggling. The fruit of the Spirit is not even a commandment. It's not saying, I command you, love. I command you, have joy. I command you, have peace. No, no, no. These aren't even commandments. These are the fruit of the Spirit. So interesting. These amazing character traits are fruit that the Holy Spirit produces in our life. The fruit of the Spirit is not a to-do list. And that's hard to get through our heads. In other words, we do not get these amazing attributes by trying harder. Trying harder actually makes us have them less. Well, I'm being really loving, and I've been keeping score, and you're not loving me. And it actually makes us less loving. I've been so kind to you. I've done so many things nice to you. And what do you mean you forgot Mother's Day? The more we try as a to-do list to have these things, the less we have them. We do not get these beautiful attributes by trying harder. We get these beautiful attributes by spending time with Jesus. Spiritual fruit is not the result of strenuous effort. It's the matter of experiencing Jesus' goodness in our daily life. Every moment, every day. I give him my sin, and I receive his mercy. I give him my failures, and I receive his forgiveness. I give him my selfish thoughts, and he gives me wisdom. I'm honest with him about how much this person hurt me, and he gives me understanding to see it differently. It is fruit. And the last point that I think I'll have time to leave you with today is, oh gosh, the clock, not you. The fruit of the Spirit flows out of us effortlessly when we comprehend Jesus' mercy, kindness, and unmerited grace. That is how the fruit of the Spirit comes out of us. It's not something we do. It's something that flows out of us effortlessly when we understand Jesus' mercy, kindness, and unmerited favor. Let me illustrate it for you. Before Peter denied Jesus three times, he did not have patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. At the Last Supper, Jesus said, I'm going to be crucified, and one of you will betray me. And Peter said, I will never betray you. Though all of these losers might betray you, I will never betray you. I am the super disciple, Jesus. I love you like so good. I'll never betray you. Peter, you're going to betray me three times before the cock crows, before morning. And what happened? Within minutes, the disciples were arguing, who's going to be the greatest? Well, that sure isn't kind and gentle and selfless and loving. Who's the greatest? And then Peter failed miserably, and he sinned miserably. And even after all that Jesus had done for Peter, Peter had never been loved like that before. Peter had never been poured into like that before. Peter had never been cared for like that before. Peter had never heard wisdom like that before. And even though Jesus did all those things for Peter, Peter betrayed Jesus three times before the sun came up. And he said, I swear to God, I never knew the man. I don't even know who you're talking about. And then he threw out some swear words. I don't know him. Wow. Peter failed miserably. He sinned miserably. And you know what Jesus did next was astonishing. Jesus came to Peter, not with rebuke, but with what? Mercy, grace, and abounding love. Loving kindness like you have never seen. He even tells the angel to tell the women, go tell the disciples and Peter. Singles him out because Peter thinks I'm not a disciple anymore. And Jesus comes to him, he says, Peter, I still want you. I still love you. I still want to use your life. I still have a plan for you. Feed my sheep, Peter. I still want you on my team. You're still important. And Peter was broken. Peter could no longer find his worth in his own goodness, which is what the flesh wants to do. Peter could no longer say, I'm amazing, which is what the flesh wants to do. Peter could no longer just think that he was the superstar, which is what our flesh wants to do. And Peter learned and Peter discovered that Jesus' love for him was uncaused by him. That Jesus' love for him was, even though he was a total mess, Jesus loved him, and Jesus wanted him, and Jesus sought him out, and Jesus valued him, and Jesus said, I want you on my team, Peter. I want you with me for eternity, Peter. And Peter's soul felt its worth, and Peter felt valuable. And Jesus said, he who is forgiven much, what? Loves much. And guess what love is? A fruit of the Spirit. And now when someone wronged Peter, Peter goes, no big deal. I get it. And now when someone was gossiping about Peter and talking bad about him behind his back, Peter's flesh goes, I can't believe that guy. I'm going to rip his head off. And he goes, oh, wait a minute. I've done that. I've said that. It's not really that big a deal. And so we see that the fruit of the Spirit flows out of us effortlessly when we comprehend Jesus' mercy, kindness, and unmerited grace. And we'll have to pick it up here next week for part 3 of the Spirit-led life. Shall we stand? The Spirit-led life is the most rewarding, most abundant, most fulfilling life you can possibly live. And it is a walk. We do it moment by moment. Oh, I want you to experience it. Oh, I want you to receive it. May the Lord bless you as you walk in His Spirit.
You've been listening to a message from Pastor David Menard. You may freely share this message with others as long as you don't charge for it. Support for these broadcasts comes from your generous donations that allow us to give away our materials for free. To participate with us, please visit our website at themissionchurch.net. God bless.